Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And it's another weird one we're throwing at you. I was telling our people on KTTH, the 3-minute intro, that this is a new one. We've had a lot of weird programming issues because of the summer and conflicts with interviews. You guys know the whole story. This week is no different. This is actually a new one. I'm recording on Monday. So the market update segment is going to be very muted. We got some great things to cover, some great things I want to discuss, some things I think that are really valuable to discuss. And there's always so much to talk about, right? There always is. Again, it's the market, just a gift that keeps on giving. No lack of topics. But anyway, yeah, light. We're flying blind. We don't really know how the weekend's or how the week is going to end. But what I will say on the market update side of things is that, you know, it's Monday morning right now. I think our value portfolio is up like 2.5% this morning alone. It's 11 a.m. The knife fight continues, guys. It's just back and forth. Now you've got a day-to-day where actually tech and growth and the value stuff are doing well. Haven't seen that in a really long time. That's interesting. That is worth a little market update. And you have the NASDAQ really pushing toward that 15,000 level, which to me would be a firm breakout and kind of fits into what we've been talking about. I think you got a new all-time high on the S&P today. You got it flirting with 4,500. And then the Russell 2000 up 1.7. That's bullish. That's really bullish, at least on a technical basis. And I've got some reasons why I think that is occurring. And we'll get into that as well. But one of the first, well, you know what? Let's actually get into that right now. Some of the bull arguments, because I know that a lot of you guys, you know, from speaking to people who listen to this show, I know that a lot of people listen to this show to kind of hear the other side of the story, right? If you want stock market cheerleaders, those are easy to find. Just put on CNBC. You're going to hear 24 hours of it for the most part. And we look at it the other side. You know, we're also going to tell you what to be aware of, what to be afraid of. And guys, I cannot... Look, I can't stamp myself as kind of the gold stamp or the one that is singularly capable of certifying, right, the knowledge of a financial speaker. I can't do that, nor would I ever, because I can be as wrong as often as most. The thing that I think that is valuable about the information that we bring you, and the reason why I think that we're a credible voice is because you're going to hear both sides of the story. And I understand that the doom and gloom practitioners out there, right, the doom and gloom crowd, a lot of times, and I get it, they sound the smartest. They fit with your worldview. There's so many of us out there that are rational, right, responsible financial actors, and we look at the state of the world today and we go, it cannot continue. And that is 100% the case. Yet at the same time, you also have to examine track records. You have to look at the people that have been saying that this is doomed and it's going to create a Great Depression and there's no way out. Those people have been wrong for 13 years. And here's the part of it. Well, eventually they'll be proven right. Okay. But over that same period of time, the S&P is up nearly 400%. Okay. So they could lose 50% of their money and still be sitting on a massive gain from where those doomsdayers were out there saying the whole thing's going to fall apart. Is it? Are they going to be proven right eventually? Absolutely. Of course the bill comes due. But one of the things that you got to learn, guys, is that that doesn't, there's no timetable that comes with that. And for those of you unbelievers, you're like, well, Zach, you're always talking. Yeah, because we're looking at risks, right? That's risk management. You've never heard me on this radio say to sell everything you own. You've never heard me on the show tell you to buy gold in the VIX and get ready for nuclear, because you don't know. Now, you did hear me last, you know, January and February looking at coronavirus going, hey, the market is not at, you know, the market is not where it should be. You need to put on some protection. But we didn't sell everything we owned. Why? Because we don't have certainty. Nobody does. And that's the part of investing that really, and just take my word for it, you guys. It's part of investing that really separates. And again, I'm not saying this in a boasting way at all. I'm really honest about the stuff we get wrong. And nobody has a perfectly clear crystal ball. And I am first to put my hand up and stand in that line. But this is why we do what we do. This is why we focus on risk management. Because we are competitive enough. We are driven enough to always want to win. And after doing this job for a long time, I realized that it's not the guy that gets the big call right. Hear me there. Hear me. Really focus in on what I'm saying, because it's the gospel truth. It's not the guy that gets the big call right. Oftentimes, that's the most dangerous guy to invest with. Why? Because there's a level of certainty and hubris that comes when you make a lot of money from getting a big call right. And what we know, I don't care if you're Peter Lynch, Stanley Druckenmiller, George Soros, or Buffett himself, you're going to get them wrong. And if you lose just as much as you make when you get one wrong as when as much as you make when you get one right, that's a zero-sum game. We're right back to zero. We might walk around with our chest stuck out a little bit extra far, get a little more interviews, on CNBC and Fox Business, get some inflows into the funds, right? We might enjoy some short-term celebrity. But it's not the guy that gets the big call right. It's the guy who's good either way. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not the maximization of the returns. It's the maximization of the efficiency of the portfolio that loses the least amount when we go down, that grabs the most amount when we go up. That's the name of the game. Why? It's more true than ever. And when you hear people talking about business cycles and now this is happening, we've got to come to a realization. And I've watched this happen over and over and over again over the last 13 years. We must come to a realization, whether we like it or not, that we don't live in the same time and in the same financial system that we used to. And what I mean by that is that the health of the economy used to be the biggest driver of asset prices. It no longer is. The biggest driver of asset prices, in a lot of ways, you could also say the economy, is now central bank and government spending. Okay? Disagree with me all you want. That's the way it is. That's the name of the game. And I have watched these very well-pedigreed, brilliant macro guys. Not all of them, right? Chase Taylor's done remarkably well because he's flexible. But these other guys stick to their dogma, and I get why they do. Because, and we talked about this a lot in the deep dive on the U.S. dollar. Same kind of deal. Where I don't disagree with what you're saying, but you're not factoring into it the other side. You give the central banks all the credit for running up asset prices, and yet you give them no credit for being able to continue to do so. Will the efficacy of their practices wear off? Of course it will. Will it all come crashing down? Of course it will. But what happens in the meantime? And what does that timeline look like? And just a question. Wouldn't you be better off in a portfolio that still grabs the majority, if not the most, if not outright beats the market as we continue up, but does so with a defensive layer underneath it all the time? That's why we do what we do. That's why we diversify. That's why we use the fixed indexed annuity instead of bonds, because it tracks the market. It doesn't get all the gains, but you go back to a year like 2019, where the market was up 30%. Maybe you made 4 or 5% in your bonds that year, whatever. Fixed indexed annuity, our products in general, I think we had one that was an outlier that was only up like 7 or 8. But all the products in general were up somewhere between 13 to 19%. It didn't give you the 30% of the market, but you were insured against loss with no fee. That's why we use that real estate fund, too, is part of our bond replacement strategy. And then that's why we build the stock portfolios the way that they are, right? They can go down. They were down 11% in March when the market was down 36. And I'm not trying to pitch our wares, guys. This isn't me throwing another, you know, call us thing. But I'm just saying, think about it rationally. It's the biggest mistake I see investors make all the time. And I know it because I've made it before, too. Oh, I got to get this 100% right. And you go, no, you don't. There has been more money lost trying to get it 100% right than has ever been made. Without question. What do you need? You need a portfolio that works either way. So that's, you know, and I've been on a few of them, guys, but that's, you know, for we've got our clients out there that listen to Real Vision. I've had a lot of, you know, I've become, you know, acquaintances. Buddies, I wouldn't say friends, but with Raul Paul, the owner, he's been on the show several times. Great guy. Grant Williams, co-founder, has become a buddy as well. Been on the show several times. Great guy. But there's a reason that they don't have me on their show. Why? Because typically what I have to say doesn't sell in the world of media. Because I don't have certainty. Right. The irony is nobody does, but certainty is the it's right. That's the easiest form of advice to sell. I have the answers. Come to the Oracle. And guys, there just isn't any. That's why we do what we do. And I will just tell you, I know a lot of these guys and I know a lot of their performance. They're very smart guys. They're talented guys. But the approach we take has blown them out of the water. And at the end of the day, this is a very simple game. It's maximize. You know, clients come to me and they hand us our money. And what is the name of that game? It is maximize my returns and protect me from catastrophic loss. That's the game. And when we look out there at so many of these retail portfolios today, that's not what they do. They maximize your loss. And they minimize your upside. Or we go listen to one of these gurus / charlatans. And we've been sitting in gold and cash and treasuries for the last 10 years. There's middle ground. Because at the end of the day, what are we doing? We're financing your retirement. What does that mean? That regardless of whose outcome, right? If Jim Cramer's rosy-eyed, rosy-glassed, you know, debt doesn't matter, Pollyannish view of the market looks at, you know, I want to be good if that happens. It's happened so far. I mean, you guys heard me last year. Well, you know, until the S&P made new all-time highs, I was sitting there. I think this is a bear market rally. I was wrong. But we weren't sitting in cash. We were managing risk. We had a really good year last year. Even better one this year. That's the only way to do it. And I remember I could tell you I came up with this one. I can't remember who said it, but I also can't take credit for it because I feel like it's too I feel like it's too good. I had to have heard this from somebody. But it's always it's a line that is always stuck in my head, which is there is no certainty. Certainty is the hallmark of the charlatan. Certainty is the hallmark of the charlatan. And that and what's funny is that quote was probably said Yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't. But that goes right into what we've called before the Dunning-Kruger effect. Right? And this is, look it up, Google it, Dunning-Kruger effect, where scientifically they have proven that those who know the least are the most confident about the little bit that they know, and that those that know the most typically are the least confident about what they don't know. Or excuse me, those that know the most are the least confident about what they don't know. Those who know the least are the most confident about what they do know. Right? We all know that in life. What should we be afraid of? Be afraid of the guy, I can guarantee you this, right? It's the hallmark of the charlatan. And yet so many of us buy into it. Oh, this guy's got the message. This guy's got the way. He knows how. They're like, well, wait a second, Zach. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, hey, we don't know. We know how it ends. No clue when. Right? But that's not my job. What is my job? My job is to make you good regardless. That should be the job. And unfortunately, it's not. Unfortunately, with so many of these other people, to no fault of their own, it's the way the industry works, their job is to sell you mutual funds and bonds. Is that what's best for you? That doesn't matter. It's sell them mutual funds and bonds. That gets the job done. Well, hold on a second. Should be a little more nuanced than that. So anyway, as you listen to these people talk, you guys, be so careful about who you listen to. And hopefully that's what we are to you, because, you know, I made a promise when I first started doing this show that we would be transparent, that we would be a source of the unvarnished truth, at least as much as we know it to be. Right? There's going to be things that are outside our scope that we don't know. And if we don't know, we'll say we don't know. Because the world's got enough financial charlatans. I have absolutely zero interest in being one. And at the same time, too, I'm trying to be the best manager. I want to generate the best returns. I don't really care if that's with $350 million that we manage now or whether it's with $10 billion. I'm not trying to grow a firm. What I'm trying to do is fulfill my fiduciary obligations for the people that have trusted us enough to manage their wealth at this point. And that's our focus. So anyway, if that interests you, give us a call, you guys, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Get our Common Sense Investment Booklet. Figure out how our average clients were down 5 to 6% last March and yet still had great returns. Figure out how our stock portfolios have beaten the market over the last couple of years, even though we were only down 11.5%, just shy of 12% during March when the market was down 36%. There is a better way to do it. I can't guarantee the outcomes, but what I can tell you is we can build you a portfolio where no matter what happens, you're going to be fine. And most importantly, we can build a portfolio where I can tell you, look, if the whole thing does fall apart, you're going to be good. And I don't want to say this because this sounds horrifically insensitive, but I was talking to a client of ours the other day and they go, but Zach, what if it got really bad? And I go, listen, we don't want to think about things this way, but based on the way that we're managing your money, if things got really bad, like depressionary style collapse, our average client would be actually a lot better off. Now, it wouldn't be fun because of the chaos we see around us, right? But at the end of the day, if we do a good job managing our money, at least we can help friends and family. Now, how do we do that? We don't do that because I'm so brilliant that I'll see it coming. We do that because we're going to build a portfolio that can stand up to it. And that may very well mean, and has meant in the past, that we might make a little less than we otherwise would. Right? But that's a risk that I'm more than willing to take. Because at the end of the day, like I've said so many times on this show, I want to beat the market every year. But that's not my first job. That's not the first focus. The first focus is that we finance your retirement. And this gets right into, you know, this gets right into even with our own clients. Not many of them, but a couple of them. We've had a couple of really shocking conversations recently where people are like, I thought we'd get better performance, whatever. And I go, you're beating the S&P 500. Well, what's the problem? Well, we thought we'd beat it by more. And this is where I tell them, I go, listen, when you became clients, did I ever tell you that our goal was to outperform every single quarter? No. Did I ever tell you we would outperform every single quarter? No. Did I ever say that? No. What did I say to you? I said, listen, you can't make all the people happy all the time. But here's the promise I will give you. If you leave us, if you decide that you made a bad decision, if you decide that we're not the people and that we're not as good as you thought we would be, I'll tell you exactly why you came to that decision. You came to that decision because you think that we could have made you more money, or you don't think we were aggressive enough. Here's the conversation we're never going to have. We're never going to have a conversation about why all your money's gone. We're never going to have a conversation why 60 to 70% of your money's gone. We're not going to build a portfolio that allows that to happen. Could you take a hit? Sure. I can't promise you against loss. But we're going to build a portfolio that isn't capable of losing more than you can stand to lose. And the other thing is, we're going to lower your fees a lot. And we're going to improve your upside performance. It can be done. There's a better way to do it. And if you hear the excitement in my voice, because I actually care. There are good guys out there. I'm not saying I can't be a pain. Talk to my wife. But I'm just, there are people out there with good intentions. There are people out there that are trying to do the right, honest thing. And that aren't selling you fool's gold, that can say, hey, we're not going to get it perfect every time, guys, but here's the deal. Why don't we build you a portfolio that grows faster than one you got? Let's lower the fees. You'll be fine no matter what happens. And a matter of fact, if markets keep going up, you'll make more in this portfolio. Here's the difference. When it does come crashing down, when something unplanned or horrific happens, you got a net underneath you. You're fine. You're not having to sell your house. You're not having to cancel the European vacation with the grandkids. You're fine. And if things got really ugly, it actually benefit you in a perverse way, right? And if that interests you, which I think it should, better returns over time, lower fees, lower risk exposure, call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio. Got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Stick with us. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com and you'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It also allows you to stay in control of your care options, and maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. Story Monson, I highly recommend doing what my wife and I did. Learn about all the new long-term care plans offered by Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. You can sign up for one of his upcoming live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. Brian will teach you everything you need to know about long-term care, including all the new plans that are available. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Sign up for one of Brian's live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. It's free to attend, and you'll learn so much. Brian's class was a real eye-opener for my wife and me. Long-term care is so important. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we are back. So now I wanted to throw something on the other side of it. We have all spent a lot of time discussing the craziness in these markets, you know, the unpredictability, why they move the way they do. We spent a long time discussing the knife fight that is currently going on, that even today is raging. Like I said earlier, the interesting thing about today is you've got the NASDAQ up 1.63 and the Russell up 1.78%. That has been a long time since you've seen a day where both of them rally. That looks really stinking bullish. Now, you could give it back this week. Maybe it's a one-day flash. I haven't even had time to check volumes today. But, you know, this is what... I've just listened to a lot of podcasts lately and a lot of really, you know, articulate, very smart guys, very well-pedigreed guys making their calls one way or the other. And I'm just chuckling because nobody was talking about what if NASDAQ and value break out together. Now, I don't think that it's really sustainable over the long run. But, you know, this marries right up perfectly with the conversation we were having the first time. It's why you can't bet on certainty, because there isn't any. And if you want to get even a little bit more surgical about it, the reason there isn't certainty is because literally every action the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government and the central banks around the world and their governments take, when they're printing money and buying, they are trying to paper over economic realities. That's what they're doing. So everybody's like, oh, the economic realities have to play out. And you go, that's exactly what they're trying to squash. They want markets and the economy to do what they want to do, right? They want them to follow the path that they lay out. And so I've watched these guys, smart people, intelligent people, sit there and beat their heads against the wall, go, why aren't the economic realities playing out? Well, that's because they're accomplishing their task. At least as they see it. I don't agree with them. I think it's patently insane and incredibly dangerous that somehow the central bank mandate of price stability has now turned into ever higher prices. Markets that only go up. And they can say all they want about it. Look, I mean, you know, look what they do. Right? Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do. Right? It's all about juicing up private asset prices. That's the name of the game. And if you want to bet against a guy that has a pocket of infinity, right, a bottomless pocket, be my guest. I'm not doing it with my client's money. Now, do we guard against the inevitable breakdown? Of course. And that's risk management. That's what the whole game is all about. But, you know, it does remind you of the old adage, don't fight the Fed, right? It makes me think of my college football coach. How old is that line? It's pretty old, but it's not old. It's not good because it's old. It's old because it's good. Meaning that line has been around so long because that's the case. You got some nut job out there that's got an unlimited reserve of dollars, and his hand just cranked on the lever and just opening that spigot wide open, you're going to fight it? And so long as you're doing it with my money and not yours, man. But to the bullish side of the argument, you guys, here's some reasons why I don't think that there is impending doom upon us at this moment right now, or why markets are about ready to collapse, and I'll make some arguments. One of the things that you have to look at, and again, we've talked a lot about this on the show before, but passive investing has really changed the way that people invest. More importantly, I firmly believe, and there's been a lot of work done on this by some very brilliant people. The first that comes to mind is Mike Green, who I'd like to get on the show at some point. We have some mutual friends And we'll probably, hopefully, get Mike on at some point. I've communicated with him in the past, and he said that he's willing to. He just had to work it out with his schedule. But Mike is, first of all, a very, very smart guy, very accomplished money management trader, and he's spent a lot of work on this. And the reason that passive investing has really changed things is, first of all, it has become extraordinarily popular with retail investors for good reason, right? Because some of them have been burned by irresponsible money managers. And let me just tell you, there's a lot of them out there. And not irresponsible because they don't care about their clients. Not irresponsible because they're reckless people or there's anything bad with them. The vast majority of time I see these reckless portfolios, and I think this is a pretty good litmus test, figure out when your money manager started managing money. Now, when I say money manager, guys, I want to be very careful to bifurcate a couple things here. We have to separate money manager from advisor. Okay. Two different things. A money manager is somebody who actually makes individual investment choices. An advisor is somebody who allocates capital to other managers. Okay. 98% of the people out there allocate capital to other managers. They're advisors. They don't actually run the money. And no offense to those people, but that's why I think that that is such a bad deal, right? Because they're typically putting you in mutual fund accounts that have underlying fees, then you're paying their advisory fee. We know from history that 93% of mutual fund managers underperform their benchmarks. So we're going to pay them a fee to underperform the market. Then we're going to put an advisory fee on top of that. And then what we're going to get is slightly worse than market return with about 2 to 2.25% in fees sucked out per year. Not very attractive. And that's why a lot of people have made the decision to go into passive vehicles like Vanguard. ETFs, things just track the stock market at virtually no cost or 10 basis points or whatever. And I think that's rational. I think it's much more rational than the average advisor approach because you're going to get slightly better performance overall. And you're going to drop typically between 1.5 to 2% in fees per year. It literally is a guaranteed beat against the traditionally advisor type mutual fund portfolio, right? So I get why those people are going passive. Now, there's some of you that go the active route, hire people like us. I think one of the quickest ways, I think one of the things that should catch your eye is when did your money manager start actually managing money? Not how long have they been in the business? Not how long have they been an advisor? How long? And the reason I say that is because the vast majority, when I see a portfolio, and I've seen several of them lately, that are not even close to diversified. They are reckless portfolios. Any professional in the world looking at them would sit there and go, this is not smart, right? They're all loaded up on all the high-priced garbage. And it's not garbage, but you guys know what I'm saying. All the high-priced, popular Reddit-type stuff with zero diversification, zero exposure to precious metals or natural resources of any kind, zero exposure to anything value related, just a one sector bet. And the problem with that is that blows up. It literally is only a matter of time. And you know what those people will tell you? Well, I know when to get out. Yes, that's what everybody says. Sure you do. And the reason I say when did they start managing money is because the only person that would build a portfolio like that is one that hasn't been slammed. One that doesn't have scars. Because that's what teaches you. Otherwise, it's a classic situation of confusing brains with a bull market. There's another good old adage. Well, I've had this performance. Yeah, well, great. So has everybody. All you had to do is buy the triple Qs, Tesla and Apple, and there you were. And I'm not dogging people that got good runs doing that. You know, like I've said before, I don't begrudge Kathy Wood. I don't think that she's dishonest. I think she puts way too little a premium and value on hardcore fundamental research. I think that she could be a good investor over a long period of time, but I think that she's got some serious hard times and pain in front of her the way that they're allocating capital. But I don't begrudge her. I don't think she's dishonest. I don't think she's lying to people or misrepresenting. And if you've ridden that wave, congratulations. But again, what are you trying to do? And then ask yourself, for all those of you that think that out there that you're really smart and you really got it going on, ask yourself, what what has happened in the past when one sector of stocks has outperformed so much and everybody starts putting all of their money in. It's never ended well, guys. It just hasn't. And there's so much of that out there. And a lot of it is because I was having a conversation with another guy the other day. Really big portfolio. Super nice guy. And I think I brought this up a week ago. And we took a look at his portfolio. And I think I ticked him off and offended him. And it's certainly not what I meant to do. But I just looked at him and I go, with this amount of net worth, man, why are you invested this way? This is nuts. This is a one sector bet. You don't even have an exposure to other things. And we don't even have to get into the safety side of it, guys. We don't even have to get into the reckless side. What about the greedy side of it? What about making money? And everybody's worshiping at the church of what's worked lately. And I can't, once again, I can't tell you the timing, but I know that there are these opportunities all over the place that we're benefiting from, you know, like BTU, like Peabody Energy that we sold a little bit more of today. What I think is up again, we bought that sucker like 370, 380 a couple months ago. Today it hit 1450. I mean, those are Tesla like returns in a couple months. So it's not just the security, the diversification, provides you, but it's also the opportunity. And here's the other thing I'll tell you. Tech ain't sneaking up on anybody, guys. If you think there are big wins still left in that, and I'm not saying there aren't things here and there that can still go, but everybody and their mother's loaded up on this stuff, which tells you what? The big opportunities are somewhere else. Here's the question. Here's the price that you got to pay to take advantage of those opportunities. You have to be willing to underperform for a little while. And this is exactly why we use two portfolios. This is exactly why we have the momentum algorithm in the value portfolio. Because we know that most of the time, both won't be running at once. But last year is a perfect example. So last year, our overall stock performance beat the S&P and beat it pretty handily on both sides. We were down, like I said, 11.5 in March when the market was down 36, and we finished up, and it varies a little bit. I don't want to get in trouble talking performance on, but you know, we finished up somewhere between 19, 20%, depending on the fees and the amount of money you had with us, things like that. So there's a little bit of a range in there, but solidly outperformed the S&P too. Now, will we do that every year? No, nobody will. But the reason that we did that, honestly, was because of the use of the two portfolios. Last year, the momentum portfolio killed it. It was up 30. It almost doubled the return of the market. Value, not nearly as much. It was only up like 5. Average amount came out ahead of the S&P. Why do we do that way? Because all the momentum slowed down in the first half of this year and value went up. We're up 30, 31% on the year. Put them together, outperforming the S&P. That's called diversification. And so many people look at diversification as like locking in bad performance. That's not the case. It's better performance. It's just over time. And the lack of patience with investors out there. Like I said, some shocking conversations with clients. They're like, well, you know, I thought we'd do better. I go, you're outperforming the S&P. Well, yeah, but whoa. In a market like this, I don't understand people sometimes. And to be fair, I'm not griping. This is a fraction of people that we deal with. But you're kind of looking at them going, people listen to the radio, have I ever said invest with us because we will beat the S&P every quarter? Have I ever said invest with us because we're trying to beat the S&P every quarter? No. I've repeatedly said we won't. I mean, the name of our radio show is Know Your Risk Radio. If you think we're trying to beat the S&P 500, I don't know who you're listening to, but you're not listening to us. And I think especially in bull markets like this, you know, what we're doing on the investment side really matters. Another thing that really matters that doesn't get paid enough attention to is that investors need to have realistic expectations. Because even if you're not working with us, if you don't have the person, maybe you are working with somebody else, maybe you're managing your own money. But guys, 20% a year, 15% a year, it's not realistic. And if you think it is, God help you and Godspeed, because you will get wrecked. I promise you. And like everything else in life, the path that will lead you, the path that will leave you in the best spot, the path that will leave you sitting on a bitch, sitting on a beach at 75 years old, watching your grandkids play in the surf, thinking, you know, we made the right decisions. That path will be one of risk management. It will not be of loading up on one side of the beach or one side of the boat. Too many B words in here today. It will be from taking the disciplined approach and managing risk and avoiding big drawdowns. That will leave you where you want. It won't be the sexiest in the short run. Now, there will be times. That was the other thing that was kind of frustrating. You're sitting there going, wait a second. We were down, your portfolio was down like 5 or 6% with us last March when everybody else was getting wasted. And you've still beaten the market each of the last 2 years? Like, what? I don't understand why you would not be happy with that. But you can't be all things to all people all the time. And so, you know, we'd love to keep everybody's money. But I look at those people and I go, you know, maybe we're not the best fit because what you're looking for, we're not even trying to do. I had a client call here, this quarter. And I go, this quarter, what do you mean? They go, well, I'm only up this month. And I go, oh, I didn't know that. And they go, you don't know how we're doing this quarter? And I go, no. They go, well, Zach, that's concerning. And I go, why is it concerning? They go, well, I think you should be tracking that. And I go, why would I track that? Quarter, week to week, what the heck does that matter? Now, am I always aware of where we're at year to date? Yeah, I am. I think that's part of managing risk. It's not like we sit there and go, oh, well, we've given up a point and a half on the S&P over the last 2 weeks, so we got to change the portfolio. No, I just want to know where we're at. But when did we start looking at investment returns on a weekly or monthly basis? I just don't do that either. Don't do that either. That's not a path to sustained wealth. I can promise you that. But so getting back to this original argument, though, on the bullish side of things, sorry, guys, you know me, I can drift a little. But let's talk about some bullish arguments. And I think one of the biggest ones that I haven't really heard anybody articulating is you're going to see this employment rate continue to come down. There's just too much demand for jobs out there. And I don't think it's that the economy is going to magically fix itself. Right? It's the handouts end, right? The extended unemployment benefits are coming to an end. The moratorium, and they're going to pad this. They're not just going to throw it into reverse and, they're going to probably come out with some other stimulus. But as that stimulus wanes, people will get jobs. And as people get jobs, they start contributing again to 401ks. And what is the number one utilized vehicle inside of 401ks? ETFs. So once again, money in an increasing amount. Now, remember, here's the other thing. Right? Minimum wages have gone up. Wages have risen over the last year and a half. So I would expect those inflows coming in from those 401ks and retirement accounts to be even larger, pouring directly into the ETFs. So that money is going straight into the indexes themselves, right? It's like buying the stock market. And I think, now I'm not saying this is definitively going to happen. And I'd actually like to see some research with this. But when you look at the way this market is set up, I would suspect that the stock market levels in general and the unemployment level in general, and I think this is true for most of the time, I just think the reasons why this is true is different now. Because, again, so many fewer pensions out there now. Utilization of 401ks is the primary savings vehicle for retirement. That's so much larger than it was in the past. And then passive investing. Here's the other thing that we want to consider. In the past, don't quote me, but something like 40 to 50%, it could even be higher than that. This was astonishing when I realized this. Back in the early 2000s, when you put in contributions into a 401k, and this could still be true in some 401ks, and probably is true in some 401ks, but a crazy amount, something like, like I said, 40 to 50% of contributions that went into 401ks didn't get allocated. So they sat there in cash. And I think we've talked about this on the show before, but this is really, if you want to know, so many times I see these people come in with, hey, Zach, you know, I think we got a pretty good fund. I calculated that I've got 10 years to work. And so I've got all my money in the 2030 retirement fund, right? And on the face of it, that looks really responsible. But a lot of times those people don't, well, virtually all the time, those people don't understand why those funds came into existence. I had the benefit of actually being there at the ground level at Russell Investments when we were creating these funds. And the reason that these retirement date funds or retirement, these target portfolio or target date funds, the reason why they became popular was because mutual fund companies saw all this cash sitting there. And it seems crazy, but people, again, they'd make contributions to their 401k, but they wouldn't put it in anything. So it would just sit in cash. And so they devised these target date and target portfolio series to be sort of an active passive vehicle, meaning as you get closer to that target date, it keeps allocating you increasingly to bonds. Now, you guys know my thoughts on bonds, so I don't think that's a very good idea. The other thing is because they're combining those different approaches, they're more expensive than traditional funds. But mutual funds started launching those funds as a marketing vehicle. And the way they did it was say, hey, because these funds automatically change over time, they're a good default strategy. So instead of a 401k plan, if you put money into a 401k plan, the default was for the money to sit there in cash until you allocated it. Now, in a lot of these plans, the default mechanism is putting it into this target date or target portfolio type portfolio or fund. And so the way these funds came along is not about them being the most efficient way to manage money. It was a way for the mutual fund companies to get that 40 or 50% sitting in cash so they could charge fees on it. Now, is it better over time being in one of those funds and sitting in cash? Yes, especially now. Is it an efficient or even close to the best way to? No. Good golly, no. Good golly, no. And this is one of the primary reasons, guys, where I tell people, look, anybody that tells you any different, I've gone around this 18 million different ways. If you have money sitting in a 401k, and even if that money has grown well inside of a 401k for you, once you are eligible to move that capital, you should always do it. And the reason why, first and foremost, is that A, you will no longer be paying the administration fee. B, you've got a much wider range of investment opportunities. So you can lower your fees and increase the things you're exposed to. Now, I'm not even talking about whether you move it to somebody like us or you have us move it for you because we handle all that legwork. And that's the other thing, guys. Maybe you've been, and I've run into this quite a few times too. If you've been sitting out there and you've got several accounts spread at different 401ks, and you've been meaning to call us, but you're like, it's a disaster. I've got accounts over here. I've got accounts. Guys, call us. We do all the legwork for you. All you got to do is get us statements. That's it. We'll do all the legwork, consolidate it all, put it in one package for you so you know where all your money is. So don't let that, right? A, don't ignore it because it's kind of a big deal, right? It's the money that's going to finance you for the rest of your life. B, don't be overwhelmed by it. That's why you should call us. We do all the legwork. That's why we have 9 employees, including myself, right? To be able to handle that transition process, to be able to do all that consolidation work for you. You just sign it, hand us your statements. We do the rest. Now that's a little bit off our topic here, but those are the bull arguments. That's another part of that bull argument, getting back to that original conversation, those fund flows. So as this unemployment rate is going down and more people are going back to work because they have to, that's another spigot of cash that's flowing into it. And then the other side of it is the Fed and the U.S. government aren't going anywhere. All right, Federal Reserve, still buying $120 billion a month. There's talk of tapering. I'll see it when I believe it. And then the other cool thing you got is, hey, when they get serious about tapering, that's when you need to be even more worried about the risk. That's when we pull back on the lever. But I just don't think there's as much guesswork into it. I think this good thing's going to end up running a lot hotter than most people think. I think the market is going to get to stupid levels. I think it's going to be a violent ride. I think that managing the downside is going to be extremely important, because when this thing, like I've said 100 times, we're tap dancing on trapdoor. That at any moment the market could pop, and I don't think it's likely because of all these factors that we brought into play. But any time that we're assessing a market like this that is not moving because of economic fundamentals, that is moving because of central bank machinations and government printing and all those, we got to be careful, because that's artificial stimulus, right? That's artificial stimuli that can be pulled away for any variety of things at any given time. The other thing that we have to be conscious of is that we're also looking at a market that literally has very, very little connection to reality. And as we all know, reality can come back quick and violently. And again, I'm biased, but this is why I just don't understand why people are investing other ways. Now, I think that there are other ways to do what we're doing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're the one. But we're not taking an absolute return view of this market. And what I mean by that is, if you're managing retirement portfolios, I think right now having, traditionally my portfolio's average, what about this market is traditional? Right? Call me old fashioned, but I'm a big believer that inputs equal outputs. So what about this market is traditional? I think the only bet you can make is that the way this ends is anything but average. So you put me in an environment like that, what am I going to do? I got to manage risk. It's the only way forward. Not to mention the fact that, like I said, it doesn't mean we're sitting in treasuries making 2%. It means that if we manage risk properly, we will outperform. We'll just do so with a lot less pain and a lot less fees and a lot less volatility and a lot less uncertainty. There is a better way to do it. Call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. You guys know the drill. Follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. Subscribe to the podcast. You can download and subscribe by Googling Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. Anyway, we got to run. I'm off to Chelan with the kiddos. Going to do some fishing. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful week. We'll be back next week. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.